are listening to Adventist World Radio, the voice of hope, the station that cares for you. It comes to you every Wednesday.
The program that brings you everlasting life and draws you closer to God.
In our program for tonight, you'll be listening to the Word of God and Family Life Lecture.
And music will be flowing within our program. Stay tuned.
For more information about our programs, call us on telephone number 0782-710-908. Or write to us at Message of Love Bible Correspondence School, P.O. Box 823, Arua, Uganda, or 247, Juba, Sudan.
For more, and just listen to this beautiful song.
Tangara, Baba, Tiwe, Mukanisa.
Let us prepare ourselves to listen to Family Life Lecture.
Thank you very much. Once again, we'd like to invite you back as we continue with our series of predictors of marital success. Idris Suleiman, we'd like to invite you and thank you so much for having tuned in to the Messages of Love, the Voice of Hope. We have discussed many factors already that would enable us to tell whether or not a marriage can endure. Let's today look at the level of education. How does the level of education affect marriage? Or how does the level of education make marriage to become very strong or very weak? A research result is anonymous in finding that a years of education increase, divorce rates decrease. A census was carried to determine this result, and it was found out that divorce rate was decreasing as people get higher education. The divorce rate is higher for those with only a higher school education than it is for college graduates. The increase in education standard increases the wider view of someone to look at lives and to handle situations. This enables them to become responsible and mature in decision making. As we have seen, the correlations between income and marital success. It can also be argued that because those who have gone for higher education usually earn more than the lower educated, the likelihood is that they can sustain the families very well. Higher educated people also would like to see that they produce children who will live in stable families and in turn get a better education for the betterment of their future. In this, in their mind, they would do anything it takes to keep their families from breaking. It is therefore important that when you want to get a very good family, studies must be one of your priorities. We've been talking about level of education, and we see how level of education affects the marriage relationship. And also we see that how people who are highly educated behave, or what are the characteristics, or what are the main goals, objectives of those who are highly educated. When we see today people who are of lower education or people who are not highly educated, they normally take their children's education as something very simple. They don't care about whether how their kids are going to live tomorrow and future, whether they want to educate those children, whether these children need education, whether these children need to reach such level of education. They don't bother, they don't care. But when we come and we look at those people who are highly educated, normally, they take the educations of their children as very, very important. Because, why? They are educated, and they know what is in the world, and they know what is going to happen in the world, and they see how the world is changing, how the economy is changing, socially, politically, and economically. The world is changing. That's why we see that, you know, these people, they take the educations of their families as very important factor in life. Now we've been talking about education. I feel like we should go ahead and look at the divorced parents. What is it all about? It is found out that children from divorced families have higher divorce rate than young people from intact homes. Have you seen? The effect of parental divorce on the marital success of their children appears to be greater for men than for women. It is appropriate to ask why this is so. When parents divorce, the children always end up being brought up by one parent in a different family. In such situations, what happens? The children are considered and treated as part of the next family. This itself has a greater effect on how the children get to relate in life when they become grown-up adults. Such children grow up with the feeling of powerlessness and anger towards life and society. When they live in this condition for long, it will become a part of their personality and the society. That they won't differentiate between what is normal and how things are supposed to be done. Children in this situation also always grow without parental love for both parents. And according to some studies done, such children will tend to find a person who will love them. You know, they will be hungry, eagerly looking for somebody to love them because they don't have somebody who would care and show them love. Since this is a normal human need, it is very difficult to live in an environment without love. In their pursuit to find someone to love them, obviously the next person to do that will be a spouse. Who will be that spouse when there is already division in the family? When the family is already broken down, the man is not there, or the woman is not there. The children are just lingering up and down. Who's going to be taking care of them? Who's going to show them love? There is no one. And what is going to happen to these kids? They will grow up people who will not know what love is. Even later in future in their families, they will not show love to their children because they are not being brought up in a lovely ways. This makes the children vulnerable to counterfeit love. There are many reasons why it is not very good to divorce. And please, next time, when tension heats up in your family, ask yourself how this will impact your family. We sometimes don't ask ourselves, when there is a high growing tension between the man and a woman in the house, we don't do more consultations. We don't consult the elders. We normally look at them like as useless people in the family. But my brother and sister, this evening, would like to urge you and invite you and encourage you that you still have a chance. When you have a heat which is heating up in your family, go to the counselor, go to the parents, go to your friends, and invite them to give you some counsel. Sit down, round table, and start the peace talk, but not start giving blows. As we see what is happening in many families, it's not good. Therefore, this evening, I'm very grateful that we are learning more things about how we can take care of our families, how education's level is very important, how divorce affects our children, families of breaking family, parents who are living separately, not in one place. We see that children, they just move in between. They don't know where to base their brain. They don't know where to base their activities, their plans. No one to give them directives. No one to advise them. No one to make them settle down. What's going to happen in future? That their families will do the same thing. They will know that these children of theirs need to be educated. These children of theirs need to be dressed, need to be clothed, need to be fed, need to be treated. Brother and sister, as we end this program tonight, may we take this message and we put them in practice, and you will see how it will work into your life. May God bless you so much. As we wind up with this program, I remain Idris Suleiman. Hope to meet you next time in our program of Family Life. Thank you.
Welcome back from that great message from Family Life Lecture.
Here is good news for you. We have free Bible Correspondence School that offer courses like Basic Health, Step to Christ, Bible Discovery, the Book of Daniel, the Book of Revelation, and Personal Bible Study Guide.
Terafa. To get these courses, call us on telephone number 0782-710-908 or write to us at Message of Love, Bible Correspondence School, P.O. Box 823, Arua, Uganda, or 247, Juba, Sudan.
It is a right time to listen to the Word of God.
Dear listeners, I welcome you once again to this devotion tonight. By name, I'm called Buffer Emmanuel Elsborn. Today we are going to talk about God's loving love. And before, I want to ask you that, do you ever get to thinking that we have so many problems? God just doesn't love us. Have you ever thought that? Maybe you have got some disease or some sickness, or you have had an accident, or you got fired, or something bad happened to some of your children. God just doesn't love us. He can't love us. All the problems we are having. But I want to tell you that this evening that God does not love you because you are good. He doesn't love you because we are variable. You are variable because God loves you. That's why you have value. God knows what you look like. He knows your past. He knows your future. He knows your inmost thoughts, even those you try to persistently to hide. And He still loves you. What a God we serve. And you know what? He loves you because He is love. That's why He loves you. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. An interesting verse. This is how we know what true love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives, our brothers. You can know something of what the love of God is by seeing what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. That's how deep the love is. It's a good thing God is love, because if He was hurt, wouldn't this world be an awful place? A master torturer, a master Saddam Hussein. Because if God loved us as much as we loved Him, we would be in a tough shape there too, wouldn't we? But He loves us with a great love. Never measure God's love with your own love. You can't compare to Him in love. The sun shines just as clearly in the darkest day as it does in the brightest. The difference is not in the sun, but in the clouds. The sun is still shining. The difference is not in God's love, but in where we are. Jesus is love. God is love. Humans cannot fathom this everlasting love. Jesus' love stands in complete contrast and contradiction to every bit of earthly human love. The New Testament writers had a problem. In order to describe the great, wonderful, divine, warm love of God they had come to know, they had to choose from four Greek words because the New Testament was written in Greek. They had four Greek words to choose from, and I want to list this word for you. There's storge, philos, eros, and agape. And you know which one of those they choose, don't you? Agape. Storge, family type love between relatives. Philos, brotherly love. Eros, love between the sexes physically. Agape, pure and tainted by any and all selfish motives. So that's the word they chose. Agape love is just the opposite to human. Human love is always conditional. You love your wife because she loves you back. Or you love your children because they are your children. There is always a reason we love only when we are loved back. But God's love is unconditional. It flows from Him without cause, totally independent of our goodness or our works. He does not love us because of who or what we are, but because of who He is and what He is. Human love is not only conditional, it is changeable. It is fickle and fluctuates with the moods and the conditions. And I want to tell you that God's love is as steady as a clock. His love towards you, you can't diminish it by your actions. You can go out and get drunk. You can do anything you want, but you will not change God's love. He always loves you with a perfect love. Now, he might not be happy with what you are doing. Drinking is wrong, and all these other things are wrong. And he wants to give you the victory. He wants to give you a hatred for sin, but he still loves you. In Bonn, a German group of psychologists, physicians and insurance companies who cooperated on a research project designed to find the secret to long life and success. One thing they discovered was very interesting to me. They made a surprising discovery. In fact, their secret is that if you kiss your wife each morning when you leave for work, you will live longer. So you men need to do that. These meticulous German researchers discovered that men who kiss their wives every morning have fewer automobile accidents on their way to work than men who omit the morning kiss. The good morning kissers miss less work because of sickness. And if you kiss your wife before going to work, you earn 20 to 30% more money than non-kissers. I want you to know that our life is changeable. All too often, we tell our loved ones we love them. If we have time, we are in the mood, we give our wife a kiss. Our love is changeable and as fickle as it can be. We ought to pray that God will give us a love that is divine for our family and our wives and our children and our church and for himself. God's love is unchangeable. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. The love chapter, if you please, love never fails. God's love never fails. If there are prophecies, they are going to cease. There are tongues, they will be stilled. If there is knowledge, it will pass away. But love never fails. You can depend on it. Human love does fail, doesn't it? Sometimes you even wonder if you love your children, but you do. But God always loves us. God's love never fails. His agape love flows out to us as faithful as the sun comes up every morning, just like his sunshine falls equally on the home of the prostitute or the pastor. Just so his love flows equally upon both sinners and the saint. God loves everybody with equal love. He loved Adolf Hitler as much as he loved Ellen White. He was disappointed in Adolf Hitler, but he loved him. He loves everybody. Human love is self-seeking. God's love is not. We love for what we got out of it. God's great love is diametrically opposed to our love. God's love is self-sacrificing. During his short ministry, Jesus showed us about his love and how great it was. The heavenly example of true love, Jesus' love is self-emptying. A man told about the illness of his son. In fact, his little son was almost died. And as the man was standing there with his wife, he thought about his son. And he thought, my little baby is going to die. And he thought about what he would regret the most of his son died. As he pondered his question, the answer came clear. I would regret that he died never knowing how much I loved him. Fortunately, the son did not die. What with that, I think that man revealed that an insight into the character of God, and that is that God grieves because we, the lost, die without Christ as and we never even really knew him. We didn't know how much he loved us. And I want to tell you that this evening that God loves you. God's loving love is reaching out to you. It doesn't matter what you have done in the past. He wants you to be saved. He regards you as his child, as a child of the King of Kings. If you know how much God loves you, you can be absolutely certain that Jesus loves you too. He loves you with the same love, and he loves you just as you are. Whose great heart grieves over every lost soul. Surely, he said, God grieves because the lost who died without Christ never know how much he loves them. Let's return over to 1 John in our Bible. In 1 John, a lovely book of the Bible, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 10. Dear friend, let's ask love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love God does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. What a beautiful love God has toward us. We will never ever, through all eternity, be able to grasp how great God's love is. God is a wonderful person. He's so kind. We can know a little bit of what God's love is like by examining some of God's attributes. We can know, for instance, that because God is self-existent, his love had no beginning. Because God is eternal, his love has no end. Because God is infinite, his love has no limit. Because God is holy, it is the quintessence of all spotless purity. Because God is omnipresent, his love is an incomprehensible, vast, bottomless, shoreless sea before which we kneel in joy, silence, and from which the loftiest human knowledge retreats confused and out. Today, Jesus wants you to get into his love. He wants you to glimpse a small fraction of his magnificent, merciful, matchless love. His love is not dependent on your actions, but if you love him, you will respond by living the Christian life. You will be victorious. I want you to get a small glimpse today of the magnificent, merciful, matchless love of God. It's my humble opinion that no one would ever be lost if they could once get their mind wrapped around a little bit of how much God's agape love is flowing in their direction. Nothing you can ever do will make God love you any more than he already does. And nothing you can ever do will make God love you any less than he already does. He loves you with a perfect love. If you just respond to that love, you will be saved. He will draw you to himself. His great love is unconditional, impersonal, saving, everlasting and perfect. I love him because he loves me. What a wonderful God we serve. Oh, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Thank you for this lovely devotion tonight. May God bless you. I'm Bafa Emmanuel. We meet once again for a wonderful time.
Thank you for the words of God. And if you have questions, comments, suggestions, please write to us at Messages of Love, Bible Correspondence School, P.O. Box 823, Arua, Uganda. Or call us on telephone number 0782-710-908.
As we are ending our program for tonight, you'll be listening for more program next week on the same time at the same frequency. God bless you.